Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Football Rambles Guide 2. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm the Legion Andaraja.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
The man born Ronaldo de Assis Moreira, better known as Ronaldinho, is, let's be honest, one of the purest figures of joy that football has ever seen. If you saw Ronaldinho in his prime, it is simply impossible to exaggerate how much fun the man was. He did things no one else could even think of, as if they were the easiest thing in the world. The tricks, the moves, the goals, all rounded off with that great big smile. He won the World Cup, the Champions League, La Liga, the Ballon d'Or, and much more, with a skill and end product that cemented him as the superstar of his time. But he was not like other superstars. Other superstars went to training.
All the time you talk about Ronaldinho and everything, but I didn't see him today.
Perhaps the most fascinating thing about Ronaldinho are the stories about his carefree approach to football, how it seems like it really, truly was easy for him to just turn up on a match day, step onto the pitch and be one of the greatest players you've ever seen.
Too early for showboating if you're a Brazilian.
This, of course, is not the full story, as his post-Barcelona career took a number of turns and his life became complicated, but we'll get to that in time. But for now, we're going to enjoy the party, because this is the Football Ramble's guide to Ronaldinho. Oh, chaps, it's fun time.
Carnival season is here.
We got an email from listener Airhip Hodge, who says, I think it's time for Ronnie Dino to get the Ramble Guide to treatment. Well, Airhip, here we go. And today is Ronaldinho's 43rd birthday, Pete Donaldson.
Happy birthday. Many happy returns.
Yeah, happy birthday.
There we are.
Ronaldo.
Take it easy, all right?
Just one of eight players in the history of the game to have won the World Cup, the Champions League and the Ballon d'Or.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Collection.
People often forget, maybe they don't forget, maybe that's the wrong word, but I think people, when you think of Ronaldinho, he elicits such a visceral reaction of joy that you forget he's not like your cult hero type, even De La Peña, or, you know, I liked him when he was doing it in those little things. He did it at the very top of the game.
Yeah. I think we'll get on to Messi, of course, but I think Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi have skewed football so much. You think, oh well, if you really want to be the best, you have to consistently do it for, you know, 15 years or whatever they've both been doing.
Right, yeah.
Was what usually would happen was you would get players like Ronaldo Fenomeno, or even said that Luis Figo, Zinedine Zidane, Ronaldinho as well. They would have, say, 5 years, four or five, maybe. Well, that depends, really. Obviously, they're always great players. But they would have...
They'd have a peak, essentially.
They would have a peak, exactly, yeah.
And Zidane had a peak, didn't he? Wait till it all went.
A widow's one. But, yeah, so I think with Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, they've kind of sort of skewed it a bit. But Ronaldinho, for that period of whatever it was, 3 to 5 years, give or take, he was on top of the world.
Yeah. Mm. So one of the interesting things about watching football for me recently has been I've managed to very successfully indoctrinate my girlfriend into watching football, whereas before she hated it. And watching the World Cup, when we watched France, the moment Kylian Mbappe got on the ball, she's like, oh God, who's he?
Yeah.
And she said, oh, he's different. It's like, and that's a really good way of explaining players like that, isn't it? The ones that really, really stand out. And Ronaldinho was that, like, to the nth degree, where he was just... Like, you've never seen a player like that. It was like he was dancing.
Well, it was, yeah. And and he did love the dance floor,
didn't
which
he?
Which I assume he does as well. Well, do you know what? On that, when he was at Flamengo, he insisted on having a nightclub clause inserted into his contract. So they had to allow him to party for 2 nights a week. Just not the 2 nights before match day.
Yeah.
Pal, all right? Just please.
All right, we accept the reality here.
Yeah.
Just help us out.
His former teammate at Barcelona, Deco, who was a fine player himself, said that Ronaldinho was more talented than Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo.
And I'm inclined to agree with that.
Yeah. I think Barcelona fans, I remember when Messi was, if Messi had a peak, certainly when Messi became the player that he was and was, you know, just outstanding and one of the greatest of all time. The one thing they would often say is when comparing the best players they've had in their history, recent history, is they would say, look, obviously Messi's the best player, but Ronaldinho, he did stuff where you're like, I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
How did his mind go to think that
when it, you know, with a back pass. Mm. When I say, as in passing with his back. Now, I know we've seen that
with
once
his chest as well.
Yeah.
The Ronaldinho chest pass.
Yeah. And people might think, oh, but
he could hit that harder than I can hit a ball with my foot.
But the way his feet would move, you know, the flip flaps, all that kind of stuff.
He had feet like hands, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also underplayed sometimes with those types of players. You think, oh, they're all skilled, but not as much, maybe lacking in a bit of industry. If you see what I mean. Mm. You think of someone like Kylian Mbappe, obviously phenomenal, but again, more industry comparing it to Ronaldinho, maybe that's harsh, but Ronaldinho did have the end product for that period of
time. Really, really consistently.
Yeah.
And it was really varied as
Pace and strength are two things you wouldn't necessarily say,
absolutely.
But he had them.
Especially when you find out how his approach to training, it's all the more fascinating. He must have actually had a real kind of, I suppose, natural athleticism and natural strength because, as we'll come on to, there's talk that he didn't really train that much, which is absolutely phenomenal. But it was the variation in his end product for me that was amazing. The incredible skills he would use to get around players and beat players and either score himself or assist for players. Mm-hmm. But he would score a long-range screamer with such consistency and regularity that it was like he had a special move.
Yeah.
That goal he scored, was it his debut for Barcelona? So it was very early on in his Barcelona career where I think the match might have been delayed. So it happened quite late. It was an evening.
You say
game.
That like he called up. Sorry, lads, I've had it.
Yeah.
Just push it back.
I should have clarified. Yeah. So eventually, he's like the Axl Rose of.
He is the Guns N' Roses of football.
Yeah,
he absolutely is.
Yeah, I think that's fair. and he scored. It's that goal that a lot of people have seen, where he's out on the left as he liked to be, and he cuts inside, and he beats about three players, and shoots from a ridiculous distance out, like a good 30 yards, and it smashes on the underside of the bar and goes in. It's a brilliant goal. It might be, well, I was about to say, is that my favourite goal of him? There's so many, but it would be up there. And again, that kind of pace in and out, weaving in and out, smashing the ball from that. Again, one can forget that. You think of like the more cheeky side and the more delicate sort of skills and whatnot, but had that pace and power because, he, you know, to play in the modern era, you know, he wasn't just a player who would be pushed off, a luxury player.
And that's kind of what hastened his release from Barcelona, you would probably say. He was treated quite poorly, I think, in many respects. But, you know, Barcelona were a different side to the one that he joined, mainly due to himself. Mm. And when he lost that kind of, through his injuries that he never really came back from, he lost that explosiveness.
Yeah.
And that was such a big part of his game, coupled with that kind of cheekiness that he'd honed in futsal.
But I think that's a good point to make, because when he went back to Brazil after playing in Europe, I think people thought he was done, but he did win the Copa Libertadores when he went back.
He was also the South American Player of the Year, and I think 2013, which is long past what his peak was considered to be. He won trophies out there. He did incredibly well. Mm. I think,
but that goes into Pete's point. But at Barcelona, you'd lose that little something.
Yeah,
and also I think maybe the hunger and desire, and also living away from home.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember as well that the Barcelona side that he reinvigorated. Mm. Get forgotten about a little bit because of what Pep Guardiola's Barcelona went on to do with winning every trophy they were in his first season and you know, Messi becoming, you know, arguably the greatest player of all time. Until that team, Frank Rijkaard's Barcelona were being spoken about as the best Barcelona side ever. They were being spoken about as like perhaps better than the dream team, which is
that's
you
right.
know, and it's and because they went on to achieve so much more relatively quickly, that does get forgotten about a lot. But you know, all of us were talking about them in the same terms, and rightly so, because they were just such a spectacle.
Yeah, I think people often think that with that side, you say that you know, Guardiola came along and he got rid of a lot of those players, and kind of, you know, the results stand up, you know, and the performances. But it wasn't just that. There was a time before that where it was just glorious to see. One of my one of the best sort of collector's items, if you like, I've seen at football matches was a Ronaldinho assist for a Messi goal at the Nou Camp.
Ooh, that's tight.
Ooh, lovely stuff. But Ronaldinho, where did it start for him? Born in 1980 into a family of footballers and musicians. It just makes sense, doesn't it?
It makes it sound like they were all playing football and playing music like in the delivery room.
You know
room.
That picture of Pelé on the front of that album or something where he's got the old sort of, is it a flamenco guitar or something? He's in full football kit sitting on the pitch. It just, that's the scene, you know. Yeah. So typically Brazilian. And his brother was a footballer. And his brother, you know, did pretty well. Nothing compared to Ronaldinho, of course, but his brother would often say in interviews, my younger brother's going to eclipse anything I do. He was very forthright in that, actually.
And you just look at him, everybody.
Yeah, it's a fair shout, isn't it? But Ronaldinho, of course, his name is Ronaldo, which is quite a common name in Brazil. He was given the nickname Ronaldinho, partially because of Ronaldo Fenomeno.
Yeah.
He loved a bit of futsal, beach football, all the rest of it. But he kind of burst onto the scene. And one of the things where people first saw him was in a final of a state championship where his team were playing Dunga's team. And he absolutely rinses Dunga. Like just YouTube Ronaldinho Dunga and you'll see. And that Dunga.
And he's got short hair at the time, which is quite weird, isn't it?
Yeah. But Dunga, like Drill Sergeant Dunga, like doing that to him, but it's the sheer gall of it. But I think also there was something symbolic. Some Brazilian journalists have said that Dunga represented that, you know, 94 side when he lifted the World Cup trophy. And as he lifts it, he's shouting and swearing at everybody who doubted him. And, oh, am I not? Because he was not seen as the type of player they wanted. They loved the 70 side and the 82 side. And Dunga was, you know, that sort of more physical side to the game. And I think it's easy to say this in retrospect. You know, you can be a little bit sort of wise and creative after the event. But Ronaldinho coming along, playing this beautiful samba, flairy, all the cliched sort of Brazilian type football, roasting Dunga. And it was kind of like, oh, who have we got here? Yeah. And a matter of days later, I don't know if he started, but he played for Brazil, his first international cap against Venezuela, and scores a goal where he flicks it over one of the defender's heads, runs in and smashes it in. And a star was born.
But so, doesn't that sum up the whole joy of Ronaldinho, specifically, I suppose, for people of our generation? Because for so long, certainly to my mind, the way a Brazilian should play was almost confined to Nike adverts, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, oh, they're all
the 1998
funny.
World Cup Nike advert.
Yeah. Oh, you know, Danielson. I felt like Danielson had more minutes for Nike adverts than he actually did for Batiste.
Real Batiste, you know?
But it got to a stage where, like, with Ronaldinho, you were like, I reckon if I told people about how Brazilians play, you know, future generations, and told them about this player, they wouldn't necessarily believe me because of all the ridiculous things that he would do at the very highest level. And so the idea that you can hold on to that individuality, that flair, and do it at the highest level, almost satisfied quite literally everyone. Yeah. Because he made that Brazil team a quintessential Brazil team and gave Brazilians... Mm-hmm. their success, you know, with that World Cup win. You know, he was
in 2002.
Yeah, that front three of Ronaldo Fenomeno,
Rivaldo, Ronaldo and Ronaldinho.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. He was actually the flair part of that front three, which is mad when you think about it.
Well, it's incredible. And to have him and you know, the great Ronaldo in the same team, because Ronaldo Fenomeno, for my money, sort of brought the game into the modern era in that the moves he did, like, we hadn't seen quite that kind of skill. And then you see other people doing it. And so he was this incredible platform. And Ronaldinho took that and managed to add to it.
Yeah.
Which is utterly incredible. Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi, you know, they've gone on to those platforms. But I wouldn't necessarily say they added to it in terms of stuff that you've seen. And that is in no way disrespectful or critical of those players. Because those players, what they did was greater than the aforementioned two Brazilians.
They're plain Janes by Ronaldinho's standards.
I mean, I'm reluctant to go that far, but I get.
I don't think it's necessarily an insult. They were more efficient.
But Cristiano Ronaldo's feet were like incredible skill.
But they're not doing the same things that Ronaldinho was doing with the football.
Well, and doing
them on instinct as well. Ronaldinho wasn't doing this as like some kind of circus act. Ronaldinho generally thought, I'm on the edge of the box against Alessandro Nesta, one of the best defenders in the world. I'm going to shift it one way with one foot and then the other and bang it into the top corner with my left foot because that's the quickest route to goal.
That what a goal that was. And again, that shows you flair and industry.
Yeah. I'm standing at Stamford Bridge on the edge of the box. Everyone stopped because I've stopped.
Yeah.
And
I'm dancing.
And the only path to the ball is doing a stanky leg on my right leg and then hitting it with the outside of the foot.
It's a toe
poking it.
Yeah.
But have
you seen a goal like that since?
Yeah.
Or ever before that?
On Sunday League, I have, but I don't think they meant it.
Also,
the old toe pun.
Also,
I'm sure you meant it.
Also, one of the first of this and previous generations to shoot under the wall.
Well, yes, that's right.
Is a reason we have the draft excluder as it is now.
That's right. The draft. Oh, you go for the draft excluder.
I quite like that.
I do like that. incredible. One shouldn't forget his time at PSG.
You know, Arsenal tried to sign him and he couldn't get a work permit. And then he ended up going to PSG later that same year.
so that's fine.
Well, Manchester United tried to sign him when he went to Barcelona, and Barcelona offered pretty much the same amount of money, but more of it up front to him.
And you see, I heard, and this is what I want to believe, that
days when, off.
no, better than that. When he was talking to Manchester United, he said, "Can I have a helicopter to take me down to London so I can go out on the town there?" That was the rumor. I don't know whether it's true, but when you also hear things like in Brazil, it was said that he had a tunnel directly connecting his house to one of the best known nightclubs in Brazil.
That can't be true.
Yeah. Of course it can't be.
That's Churchill's war tunnel.
Yeah, exactly.
Fish, it's probably not true, but it is believable.
No, he probably didn't have one, but he used a spoon to try and fashion one. I would actually believe that.
Yeah.
The tunnel would just be a club in its own right, wouldn't it? You'd never even get there.
It's just wherever
too much fun happening.
It's wherever he is, that's where the club is.
Totally.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, when he was at PSG, his teammate Jerome Leroy once told on the continent's very own Jonathan Johnson that he rarely attended training. Ronaldinho did not train on any day of the week. He just turned up on Friday, ready to play on the Saturday. He'd come in with sunglasses on, go and get changed, and then go straight to the massage table to sleep. Players with great talent like him are a bit crazy. Now, you know, one can make light of it. That is very unprofessional, and we will get to his life off the pitch perhaps a little bit later. But I know it was a slightly different era, but it's still the modern era of football.
Surely can't be that he never trained. That just cannot be true.
Well, I think there's probably a little bit of an exaggeration and maybe an element of myth here, because, again, with those skills, you have to hone them. Mm. People have...
And the physicality would break down if you weren't exercising, essentially, which is what this implies.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that... People want to believe that. I think we sort of marvel at people who we think, oh, they've just turned up and they've just freestyled that stand-up comedy set. Or, that riff has just come to the guitar stroke. It's kind of like, obviously some people do improvise. And he did that plenty of times on the pitch. But you have to have the skill set to be able to do it. Otherwise, you know, you do a David Dunn, don't you? God bless him. I know what you mean. But when he went to Barcelona, they weren't in great shape. They haven't won the Liga for a few years, since 1999, actually. They had a disastrous season in 2003 where they finished sixth. That's Barcelona.
Mm.
Outside the top three is a shocker. Sixth.
Could you name five Spanish teams other than Barcelona, apart from Real Madrid?
You've got to remember Valencia and Deportivo.
They were very good. Mallorca were decent back in those days.
There's your five.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he joined them in 2003 and they improved, let's be fair. They went to win back-to-back La Liga titles and then won the Champions League in 2006. You will remember that one, Jimbo. They beat Arsenal in the final.
They did.
Woo.
A victory for some of Barcelona. So Ronaldinho, playing for Barcelona, he was obviously teammates with Messi for a bit. And he assisted Messi's first goal for Barcelona. And Ronaldinho would often say to the press, or certainly did a few times, a bit like his older brother did to him. He was like, "You should see this young lad in training."
Yeah.
Now, maybe Guardiola or those at the club, Guardiola was not managing the side maybe at that moment. He was in the club, though. He was around the club at the time. Maybe they didn't like that, because that kind of puts a lot of pressure on Messi's shoulders.
Yeah.
I mean, he did deal with it, fair to say, I think, you know, looking at the man's career.
In the end, yeah. He had to leave, didn't he? To really shine.
Exactly. But he did become a sort of an older brother, kind of important figure in Messi's
He used to comb his hair.
He used to comb
Messi's hair, and then other players would ask, "Why are you not combing my hair?" And he said, "Well, you're not going to be the best footballer in the world," which I think is a lovely bit of work.
Yeah. He's combing his own hair.
Yeah, Messi's first goal for Barca, and it was like Ronaldinho like did that kind of scoop, and then Messi scooped it into the net, and then he was pulled off for offside, and then they scored the exact same fucking goal.
Yeah. All right, but was that when he did Ronaldinho? Did he jump on Ronaldinho's back?
Yeah.
It was almost like he was parading him round, going, "Oh, look what I've got, and you've got now."
Yeah. Don't mess up your hair. Took me ages doing that.
But he was quite shy, Messi, and Ronaldinho, I think, you know, brought him in.
He's quite shy, you know, new place. You know who'd be a good mentor? Ronaldinho!
A shotgun. A loaded shotgun.
Do you want to come on? Just show him around a bit. Show him what? Just around. Well,
I think,
take him out. Take him anywhere.
Yeah, I think while he was... I don't know what the... I don't know how old you've got to be to get into a nightclub in Spain, but I think, you know, so Ronaldinho being like the older brother for Messi.
Ronaldinho's trench coat.
But I think...
Who's that on your back? No one.
I think for a time, you know, again, Ronaldinho, that's really nice in integrating the squad as Messi's like... just getting older, maybe thinking, oh, I'm getting a bit more confident. Maybe I'll go for nights out. That's when Guardiola goes, right, you're off. Yeah, no, I'll take it from here. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
The 2006 World Cup is often seen as a turning point in his career. He'd won the Champions League with Barcelona that year, and Brazilians thought this could be the moment that he would prove himself to be possibly even the greatest Brazilian player of all time. Because when they won the World Cup in 2002, he obviously got sent off against England, missed the semi-final. He did actually; he was back in the final. And it was a good side, as you mentioned earlier, Vish, but and it's the last side that won a World Cup for Brazil, incredibly. But I'm not sure it's seen as a particularly vintage Brazilian side. But I think they thought that Ronaldinho's style of football and what he brings to the table in 2006, it was like he is now, you know, this world superstar, and he's going to take this tournament by the scruff of the neck. And he didn't score a single goal, and Brazil lost to France in the quarterfinals, where Zidane bossed them.
Yeah.
So it's seen as a bit of a disappointment. And that's where his career, you know, at Barcelona, his last couple of years were, or certainly his last year, it wasn't as good as what we'd seen before. Then he would go to AC Milan for a few years. Again, had moments, because it's Ronaldinho. He can still produce moments, scores goals, he scored a lovely header in the derby, all that kind of stuff. And then back to Brazil with Flamengo and Atletico Mineiro, where, as we said, he did pretty well. Off the pitch, gentlemen, he was often making headlines, usually for maybe not great reasons.
Tostão said of Ronaldinho.
Oh, Brazil, which, great, of course.
Absolutely. And I think this is a really, this is bang on, essentially, and encapsulates his legacy quite well. He said, Ronaldinho lacks an important characteristic of Maradona and Pelé, aggression. They transformed themselves in adversity. They became possessed and furious. And I think that's right, isn't it? Mm. Those players, when things started to go against them, they knuckled down and they found reserves of skill, talent and energy. And you felt actually with Ronaldinho, he didn't even really try to do that.
Yeah.
He just began to coast. Maybe it's because he'd won so much already and he'd achieved so much. Maybe it's just the type of character that he is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that people are who they are, you know, and it really is as simple as that. And I think Ronaldinho was never necessarily going to be the sort of person as either of those players, as Messi or Ronaldo, who is always going to be a model athlete, model professional, really, really dedicated to the sort of physical fitness side of it. And actually, that's fine, right? Because
he
won the World
Cup
unique,
and Champions League.
He's interesting.
I don't think one should. I totally take that. I think that one can be a little bit sort of, but he never really made the most of his talent. But you're seeing that through Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo's.
I'm not saying
careers.
He didn't. I'm saying the opposite.
Exactly, Jim. I'm adding to your point. People say, did he make the most of his talent? And you think, well, he won the World Cup, the Champions League. He was undisputed, undoubtedly the best player in the world. Everybody around the world knows him and loves him. That's not too bad. Yeah, okay, fine. He could have been maybe at the top for another 2 or 3 years. You know, he did catch up with him at Milan. You know, in 2009, he was left out of a Champions League game after being at a nightclub in Milan until 2:30 a.m., 48 hours before the game. He responded by flying to Paris straight after that and going clubbing there.
He loves life.
I mean, he scored a great goal against Atalanta that very weekend. But it is like, that's obviously his prerogative. That's what he wanted to do. And one can be a little bit sort of, you know, what would be the word? One can be a bit sort of fantasy football about this sort of weather and say, well, why is he doing that? He could have played. But you're right, Jim. Maybe he thought, you know, I've done all this. I can still coast a bit. And I'm still playing for AC Milan in Serie A. Do you know what I mean?
It's a man who just loves living in the moment.
And it's very easy to say, I remember Jonathan Wilson talking to a former Liverpool, an Ireland player. And, the Liverpool side that he was a part of were known as the Party Boys. And they reached a few cup finals. They may have won the League Cup. I think they finished second in the league. And he said, but you were the Party Boys. You know, if you'd have maybe gone to bed a bit earlier and knuckled down, maybe you could have won more. And he said, yeah, but we enjoyed going out. We enjoyed that. And he said, well, what about you? What do you do? He said, could you write an article? Or probably not with Jonathan, but, you know, if you take the spirit of what he's saying, if maybe you didn't socialise as much or whatever, could you write a few more articles a week kind of thing? And again, I don't think that's necessarily relevant for Jonathan, but you get the point. And I think that, you know, to say he didn't make the most of his talents and to sort of think, oh, well, he ended up playing, most of his career at Sam Allardyce's Bolton or something, which is no disgrace, actually. It's a bit harsh because some great players did that.
If Ronaldinho had been at Sam Allardyce's Bolton, that would have been a disgrace.
Yeah, let's
that
be
would
clear.
Would have been horrendous.
True enough, yeah.
I don't know that it would have been if we look at, you know, how Okocha played during his time.
Yeah, but so there you go. So you're comparing him to JJ Okocha. JJ Okocha is a supremely talented player. But what, and again, no disrespect to his career, not even in the same bracket as someone like Ronaldinho.
I'm talking specifically about this example that we threw out flippantly.
Okay.
I know Okocha is not the level of Ronaldinho.
Sure. But I think the idea that, you know, he didn't make the most of his talents or what could have been, I don't think is on the table.
But that
could
comes,
have prolonged it a little bit. But
that comes from people putting stuff upon him. So even that Tostão comment's interesting because it is such a working class sport in Brazil that basically, we end up having the same conversations about what it is that working class people want from life, regardless of the sport. We can take the football out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fundamental thing that people assume everyone who comes from working class backgrounds are driven to the point of squeezing everything out of every single moment about, you know, having that aggression. When he talks about Pelé having that aggression, he's basically alluding to the fact that he's had a tough upbringing.
Yep.
You know the world is against you. Mm. You rally up against the world, basically, yep. and you take what's yours.
And Maradona, that's definitely the case.
Yeah, but fundamentally, you can also be of a mind where you do all those things, but it's governed from a different. It comes from a different place. The motivation is for a better life.
Yeah,
and a lot of times people happen upon that better life, and they're able to spread that to other people and think, you know, this is cool.
Mm.
This is perfect.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I and my family and my people want. And I'm able to look after my people in those ways. Mm. And if you look at Ronaldinho at that time when he was at AC Milan, I think he struck that balance.
Mm, yeah.
If you look at the things, not just the things he achieved, how happy he was. If you look at the, you know, when people talk about him going back to Brazil to party, but he basically had the same friendship group as when he was there, like back in the day. Certainly, and like that fell apart later on in life. But at that moment in time,
yeah,
man was contented.
Sure.
And that's kind of what anyone wants from life.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating for the fans if you look at a player, you think we've got a world beater, and you can see that he's not firing on all cylinders, and he was in a nightclub the night
before. And you know what?
Yeah,
they're absolutely right, but that's their problem.
Well, that is the situation.
Yeah,
you football fan, footballer, but a footballer still has a life, as you say, and can strike a balance and whatnot. It's a tricky one. I mean, you know, when he went back to Brazil, when he was at Flamengo, the performances did start to drop off a bit. And one of the former club presidents urged Flamengo fans to call a special telephone hotline called Disque Dentuco if they spotted Ronaldinho on a night out in an effort to convince him to stop.
They might pay for that line.
So yeah. I think maybe at Milan...
What a drinking game that would have been. Stay out till you meet him.
But, you know... Age catches up to us all, and I think that at AC Milan, maybe there was you could argue there's a balance because he still scored a great goal against Atalanta the week we mentioned, and there were still some moments.
Wasn't his last goal obviously going back a bit, his last goal in the league was a bicycle kick. Does great, like, goodbye, farewell.
He does, and we said, you know, at Brazil, he did put in some performances, when especially at Atletico Mineiro, but... You know, as I say, age catches up to, you know, this kind of party last night. You can't do it anymore. And then it did become a little bit gimmicky. He felt almost like a Harlem Globetrotter, you know.
Right.
I'll go and play for them a bit. I'll go and play for them. And I think...
It's the Pelé Highway.
It is a little bit. And I think sometimes it's easy to say it about someone else's career, because if he's still got this talent... I mean, look, when he played for Querétaro in Mexico, I think it was, you know, he turns out, I mean, okay... You know, he played, you know, not very long and didn't do much. And it was, you know, one could say it's ultimately disappointing. I'm sure those fans enjoyed seeing him in their
absolutely.
Shirt. And it was, again, there is a little bit of the Ronaldinho roadshow about it. And one can be a bit snooty about that. And I do understand that sometimes you can look at that and think, maybe this is a bit sad. But then on the other hand, when he does whip in a free kick, and it may be his only goal in half a dozen appearances or whatever, and you see that smile, you kind of go... Yeah,
some things are bigger than like a one-all draw.
Yeah.
I saw Ronaldinho.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw him play. Yeah. I saw him do his thing.
Yeah.
Like, but also, there is a sense that like the entirety of his second spell in Brazil was like that, and that just isn't true. Because as you say, he won the Libertadores, won the Continental Footballer of the Year award. He achieved a lot. He won things there. There was another part of that story that we don't necessarily see.
Mm-hmm. I do agree with that. And he finally retired in 2018, which seems crazy. I mean, why do I say finally? Because like you thought, is he still going? But he would just pop up in sort of various places. I mean, if he wasn't playing, I don't know, sort of futsal or whatever. I mean, his professional 11-a-side playing career finished in 2015, but he was playing in various... I think he played in India for a bit.
I think that was a futsal league.
Yeah. Was that the futsal league? And so on, yeah. So
he's a man who's been, let's say, taken advantage of in a million different ways.
That's true.
Mainly through the carer that was his brother, that is his brother. You know, he has the earning potential of, you know, he's probably like top 15, maybe top 10 players of the world.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, his Instagram is just NFTs
and
betting apps and stuff. And you know, to Western audiences, him hanging out with like Bolsonaro, I mean, it's not as if like half the Brazilian team don't do that and all that stuff. Like, all this kind of like you know, obviously losing his father so early meant that his brother had to kind of look after him. And you look at some of the states that he turns up to stuff in, and it's you know, it's almost Gascoigne-esque at times. Yeah. It's kind of, you sort of wonder whether an invoice will be coming for that sooner rather than later. But so often these stories end like that. But he played the way that he conducted the rest of his life, and you know, he should be celebrated for that.
Definitely, and I think. The story in 2020 when he was arrested in Paraguay after entering the country with a false passport. Obviously, he spent some time in a maximum security prison. And you just think, what on earth's going on? And then you hear that, like, he's playing football and, like, you know, like, you know, beating all the other prisoners and, like, making them laugh and stuff. And you kind of go, again, like, it's really sad to hear that Ronaldinho's in prison because of some weird nonsense or whatever, and then, you know, the warden's organised Ronaldinho tours and he's greeting locals and playing football with them, and you think, even in that setting, he's making people smile. And so you can't deny the character of the man. Again, the being taken advantage of and very poor decisions that have been made and so on are clear to see, but that infectious smile, that wonderful joy that he gives people is it's undeniable.
And his son is in the Barcelona Academy.
Just signed last week.
There's a lot of positivity here as well.
But imagine he's like just a 6'2" destroyer at the back of the play. Really no-nonsense. Real no-nonsense, right, okay.
Incredible.
It's a target man.
Yeah. Ronaldinho.
And he's a real misery gut. He's Erling Haaland.
Oh, dearie me. Well, Eden Hazard said he learned a lot from Ronaldinho and summed it up well when he said, football is a tactical game and you have to be serious sometimes, but he taught me always to do it with a smile. That will probably frustrate Real Madrid fans. But again, a man who
shouldn't have given that fucking standing ovation then.
Oh, dearie me. What a player, though. Like, I think anybody of certainly of our generation and you know, either side of that, if you had to construct like your favourite or even best 11 of all time, I'm pretty sure his name would appear in the vast majority of those.
It would be painful to leave him out.
Yeah. Every team deserves a Ronaldinho kind of character. They just do.
But there's just not. There's so few of
us. Work, damn it!
Oh, dear. There we are, everybody. Thank you for joining us on another Football Ramble Guide 2. Remember, we want your ideas for what to talk about next. Email us, show@footballramble.com, or tweet us @footballramble. And you, like Air Hip Hodge, could get your handle, because presumably that is not his actual name, read out, and thanks and praise and whatnot. So there we are. Thank you very much, everybody, and thank you, Ronaldinho.
Bye.
We'll see you soon. That wasn't him.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.